Support for NPR comes from ADP. Say you're in HR and a solar flare adds an extra hour to each day. How would this impact business? ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to help your business take on the next anything. ADP, always designing for people.
NPR's Books We Love is a roundup of favorite books of the year, sorted and tagged to help you find exactly what you're looking for. Recommendations come in from critics and contributors, and as we'll be talking about today, NPR staff, even me. I'm Linda Holmes, and today we're talking about Books We Love on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
Jasmine Morris here from the StoryCorps podcast. Our latest season is called My Way. Stories of people who found a rhythm all their own and marched to it throughout their lives. Consequences and other people's opinions be damned. You won't believe the courage and audacity in these stories. Hear them on the StoryCorps podcast from NPR.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.
Joining me today is Andrew Limbong. He's the host of NPR's Book of the Day podcast and a reporter for the Culture Desk. Hey, Andrew, welcome back.
Yo, hey, Linda, what's up?
We are going to talk about some books, if that's okay with you, buddy. All right. You may well know what Books We Love is, but in case you don't, each year NPR gathers recommendations from contributors and critics and staff in all kinds of genres. Fiction and nonfiction, books for kids, cookbooks, memoirs, there's a little bit of just about everything. And this year, there are more picks than ever from NPR staff. That includes me and it includes Andrew. Mm-hmm. So we're both going to share a couple of our picks. Andrew, what's your first one?
Yeah, so one of the books I picked is a biography. It's by Abraham Josephine Reisman, and it's called Ringmaster, Vince McMahon, and the Unmaking of America. I don't know, Linda, were you like a wrestling head? Are you a wrestling head?
Not at all. It's one of the things that I just never locked into, but I'm always fascinated by it.
Yeah, same. I was never a wrestling kid either. I was mostly just like scared to get bullied by the other wrestling kids. But I did have this like fascination with the WWE. And I think this book, it's not only a biography of Vince McMahon, you know, head of the WWE, and like a kind of tracing the life of popular wrestling, but it's also a really interesting look at how American culture translates irony.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Like idioms of wrestling, you know, like heels, kayfabes, all this pretending.
Right, right, right.
You know, you think a lot about like the people who have proliferated online, and you just have to ask yourself, it's like, wait, are they doing a bit? Is this like a thing, or is this real, or is this not real? I keep thinking, you know, from reading the book, I was like, it doesn't matter. The question is the thing that they're doing.
Right.
You know, you could obviously extrapolate that out into politics or, you know, other forms of culture, but it's a really interesting look at how what attracts our attention economy these days.
Yeah. It's always been difficult for me to figure out, like, it is not a sport in the traditional sense of having a competition that ends unpredictably, you know what I mean? It is a performance, but it's also a sport in the sense that it takes a great deal of skill and, you know, physical skills of all kinds. I think I've just never been sure of how to process it. So maybe this is the right book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a very American story. It's a very like Gatsby type of story where, you know, like if I was him sort of like making this thing through whatever kind of like infotainment BS, the spectacle, you know, circusry that he does. It's a really like fascinating look at like American business tycoonery.
Right, right. So that is Ringmaster Vince McMahon and the Unmaking of America by Abraham Josephine Reisman. And my next pick is also kind of a little bit about heels, you could say. Yeah. It is called Starter Villain, and it is by John Scalzi.
Mm-hmm.
So Scalzi is a sort of a speculative fiction writer of all different kinds, writes some kind of more grand fantasy, writes some like interesting, crunchy science fiction-y things.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote this book, which one of the first things that I said when I talked about this in Books We Love, on the cover of this book, there is a cat who is wearing a business suit. And it's like a very traditional, what you would see as like a picture of an executive in a business suit, except it's a cat. Now, is there a reason for this? Yes, there is a good reason for this. There's a lot to say about this book. It begins with Charlie, who is not, has this uncle that he wasn't particularly close to. So he hears about the guy's death on TV. The uncle was like this rich, this very rich guy. Jake leaves him a business, which is a supervillain business.
Uh-huh.
It turns out that Jake was part of this like supervillain secret society.
Mm-hmm.
They're all kind of in competition. It's sort of like you could compare it to like the image we have of mafia families, you know?
Uh-huh.
He's in this like group of supervillains. And now the enemies that his uncle had are now his enemies. So now he's caught in this battle of supervillains. And he goes to Jake's supervillain lair. And it turns out that there are like labor issues with the dolphins at the lair. It's so complicated. It's so funny. But it's also like weirdly prescient. I interviewed Scalzi at the National Book Festival.
Oh, uh-huh.
And one of the things we talked about is that there's just thing after mm-hmm. thing in this book that just makes you think, how did he know that this was what was about to be in the news at the time this book came out mm-hmm. in 2023? It is really funny. It's genuinely compelling. It's so whimsical without being like cutesy, if you know what I mean.
What brand of supervillains are we talking? Are we talking like James Bond supervillains or like?
Basically James Bond type, like industrialist, rich person, like supervillains. Not so much like the Superman supervillains, like not the,
uh-huh.
they're mostly just like extremely rich, you know, nefarious types.
similar themes in our picks, kind of.
Yeah, no, it's true. Well, when you were talking about the wrestling book, I was like, you know, in a way, this book also is about a parody of how we think about power and like powerful people and winning and losing and heels mm-hmm. and
heels and baby faces. Yeah.
Heels and exactly. I love it. So again, that is Starter Villain by John Scalzi. What is your second pick, Andrew?
My next book is another nonfiction book. It is by a sociologist, Matthew Desmond, and it's called Poverty by America. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to front. It's a kind of heavy book. It's a really, I hesitate to say like beautifully written, but like the writing is really spectacular in it. But it's a powerfully written argument about how poverty is something we do to other people.
Yeah.
And I think what's important about the we there, I feel like a lot of times when we say we are responsible for like climate change or whatever, it's so broad and so vague that it lessens culpability. It's just like, oh, we are all good, blah, blah,
right,
blah,
right,
blah,
right.
Blah.
It's we in the sense of like humanity.
Humanity, yeah, everyone. And that,
an
you know,
irreducible
by
humanity.
Exactly, yeah. What Desmond does in this book is it makes the we like, no, me, you, everyone sort of above the poverty line
mm-hmm.
has a role to play in keeping people beneath the poverty line. And it's disrupting a bunch of myths about people in poverty, you know, whether, you know, they're like lazy and they don't work hard enough, they're just not pulling their bootstraps, da da da. And it does a little bit of that, but a lot right. of the blame that it plays, a lot of its audience is written for people above the poverty line who benefit from, you know, I was thinking about this a lot because, you know, I just had a kid and I was setting up her like 529 like college like account.
Yes.
And like worrying about my own money.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But then I was thinking, oh, in order for this lump of money to do well, certain things have to happen and certain people have to be exploited. And so, you know, I am directly mm-hmm. benefiting from other things happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a really comfortable read. I don't like it's not it's super stomach churning in how, especially at this time of year, in how like responsibly we are, but I think it's worthy of confronting some of those feelings and being uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those topics where I think a lot of people feel like they've read a lot about poverty. And, mm-hmm. you know, if they consider themselves educated or whatever, they feel like they have some understanding of poverty. But it sounds like what you're saying is that even if you, like, you work at NPR, man. Like,
yeah.
And even if you, like, have spent a lot of time in the company of people who think and talk about poverty and causes for poverty, it sounds like it still had a lot to say to you that has stuck with you.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think I've you know, read a lot of pieces that low-key kind of feel like voyeurism into someone else's life, you know?
Sure, absolutely.
And then it's like, I understand what this piece is trying to accomplish, but, you know, like Ed said before, it's like, it's more written for like, no, here's what you're doing.
Right, exactly. You know? It's not exclusively yeah. about like, here's yeah. how difficult it is to be poor. Here's, yeah. you know, the stories of how people become poor. It's the stories of like how you personally are
making people poor.
Yeah. Exactly. Are making people poor. Well, it does yeah. sound indeed like an uncomfortable read, but probably a very useful one. Again, that is Poverty by America by Matthew Desmond. My second pick is also uncomfortable, but for different reasons. It is a novel called Prom Mom by Laura Lippman, who is a longtime kind of mystery and suspense mm-hmm. writer.
Shout out Baltimore writer. Yeah, every
absolutely. Very accomplished. You know, her books tend to be kind of twisty and delicious in this particular way, which is interesting when you think about the fact that this book, again, called Prom Mom, it is about one of these teenagers who doesn't realize that she's pregnant until she goes into labor at the prom, which is kind of this tabloidy scenario that, you know, similar things have occasionally happened in real life. And so Lippman kind of spins out one of these tales, and you really find this woman many years later who had this experience, and she has now kind of moved on from it. She's experienced the consequences of it. Her name is Amber, and Amber crosses paths with this guy, Joe, who was the kind of very indifferent jerk father of her baby. So, you know, they have not had a lot of contact, but they come back into contact. Joe is now married. Mm-hmm. You know, he has a very successful wife, and, you know, he's been, you know, a successful guy. And he's not obviously interested in really renewing this acquaintance with her for a variety of reasons. But they start to talk, and some of the book takes place in the early part of COVID isolation. And there's this very complicated unwinding of their conflict and their, in a weird way, their sympathy for each other and their kind of this secret that kind of binds them and this past experience and terrible experience that binds them to each other forever mm-hmm. in a way that they would probably not have chosen. But it also turns out to be this really clever spin on kind of Joe's sense that he's a good guy, that even though this is part of his past and this happened and, you know, he's a good guy. Mm-hmm. So part of what Lippman is doing in this book is kind of wrestling with the idea of good guys, guys who think of themselves as good guys. Uh-huh. And the thing that's amazing to me is that even though it is such a bleak premise, it's a really fun book. It is still very twisty and it's entertaining to read, even though it has this difficult premise. And I think she manages to kind of take it seriously and manage it respectfully while still having the book be genuinely like a great read.
Yeah, I read her book Sunburn this summer. I think she wrote that in 2018. Mm-hmm. And that's a book that deals kind of with like histories of abuse and stuff like that and like heavy themes. But she's really good at dialing in and out of being, does this book want to be like a sexy thriller? Or does this book be like a kind of quiet, you know, meditation on parenthood or something?
Right. This is exactly what this is. It's like it goes back and forth between like being a thriller and being this like book about this kind of traumatized woman.
Yeah. You know, she's still on my like Baltimore sightings list. I haven't seen her. Like I've seen John Waters around. I've seen David Simon around. I've seen a lot of like medium famous Baltimore hardcore guys around, but I'm still trying to cross off my Laura Lippman sighting list. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. She's a fun follow and a really interesting writer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So again, that is Prom Mom by Laura Lippman. If you want to discover even more books NPR loved this year, visit npr.org/bestbooks. That brings us to the end of our show. Thank you for being here, Andrew, and thank you for everything that you did on Books We Love.
Thanks so much, Linda.
This episode was produced by Hafsa Fathima and edited by Jessica Reedy. Hello Come In provides our theme music. The Books We Love Project is produced and edited by Rose Friedman, Beth Novi, and Megan Collins Sullivan. Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. I'm Linda Holmes, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
The Indicator from Planet Money is a daily podcast that helps you make sense of what's happening in the economy. And video games are a growing slice of that economy, with billions of people around the world identifying as gamers. That's why we're dedicating a week-long series to the growing business of video games. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.
Every time you drive your car, have a package delivered, or get on a plane, you're polluting the climate. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Nature is powerful. Why don't we use it to our advantage?
Meet the people working on cleaner ways to get around on Here and Now Anytime from NPR and WBUR. Transportation Climate Solutions on Here and Now Anytime, wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.